And this is KUCI in Irvine, 88.9 FM. I am Tani Tenuviel, and coming up in just a few moments, What Would Arwen Do? An Elvish Perspective on Life. So my gavanin and suilade to all my elf friends. And please stay right here. KUCI in Irvine, the best radio station in the history of the universe. Gavanin and suilade to all my elf friends. I am Tani Tenuviel, and this is What Would Arwen Do? On every Thursday morning, 9 to 10 a.m. And I hope you are having a wonderful day. I want to say a special greeting, suilade and my Gavanin, to all my elf friends, especially my friends on Tolkien Online, my other community of passionate friends. We are all part of a big Lord of the Rings nutty group. And so in addition to being part of KUCI, which I love and cherish, we are all volunteers here at KUCI, hoping to bring you public affairs programming and music that you won't hear on the regular airwaves. So a special my gavanin to my friends, especially this morning. Let's see who's online. Erin Hugh, Parm, listening from all the way over in Japan. Oh my gosh, Rowan Berry, I think she's on the East Coast. Arwen up in Washington. The Scribes, Scribbles, listening up from Canada. Tukish Traveler from Pennsylvania. I believe Patador will be here soon, listening in from Texas. So what a wonderful thing, this internet that binds us all together. Back in Middle Earth, they had the Palantir, the Seeing Stones, and today we have the internet connects us all together. And so you may be wondering, what in the world is this show about? Well, and this is the show where we ask, I ask, if a Middle Earth elf lived today in Orange County, California, what might her life look like? How would she celebrate and support the arts, music, her community, and the preservation of Earth, its beauty, resources, and creatures? Some people ask, what would Jesus do? I ask, what would Arwen do? In Tolkien and the Lord of the Rings, A Guide to Middle-earth, Colin Duryea writes, in his invented mythology of Middle-earth, Tolkien intended that his elves were an extended metaphor of a key aspect of human nature. This, quote, elven quality in human life was a central preoccupation of Tolkien's. Elves, like dwarves, hobbits, and the like, partially represent human beings. In Tolkien's mythology, elves represent what is high and noble in humans. In particular, they represent the arts in their highest form, work done in the image of God and his created world. So I believe that this, quote, elven quality still exists today in every person and yearns for expression through gifts of creativity, nobility, and service. And so my hope and passion is that those of you tuning in would find courage and inspiration for bringing your creative gift into the world, not only to enrich your life, but the lives of others. And so sometimes we talk about things going on in the world, about elvish culture. Sometimes I have interviews, and my passion is really to bring you stories of just everyday people who make a difference, and I believe every single one of us does, who make a difference in the lives of those people around them. And so I'm very excited because this morning my special guest is going to be Ro, who, if you've tuned in before, you know that she was actually here on the show with us a couple of months ago when we were having those raging fires here in Southern California. And she was evacuated up to this area and came to stay with me for a few days, her and her hubby and the four children. And so we got to find out about that. She was able to go home. Her home was spared. And so that was an interesting adventure that we had. Today we're going to be talking about another adventure of hers, her adventure into the realm of archery. And she's got some wonderful news today. And, you know, it's, I guess my my whole thing is that you never know what a day can hold, what adventure, what thing might show up that kind of changes your life, enriches it, or something in some way that you never imagined before. And so I think it's so important to just be open, to be open to surprises from the universe. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about that. Also, today is the anniversary of the Professor J.R. Tolkien's birthday. So a little bit later in the program, about 9:45 our time, we're in Pacific time, we will be having a toast to the professor, and they're going to be toasting the professor all day long, all across the globe. But if you'd like to join us this morning in a toast, and some of my friends I'm hoping will be calling in, we'll be toasting together. So that about 9:45, we'll have a little reading from the professor himself, from the Fellowship of the Ring, a special dedication this morning, a special reading for my friend Ro. I'm not going to tell her what it is yet, but she'll recognize it. So those are some of the wonderful things we have going on this morning. And again, I just want to say a special hello to my friends on Tolkien Online. It is so wonderful to have a community of friends. And a lot of times volunteer work or shared hobbies and passions are great ways to meet other people that you that share a passion that you have. And it just makes a way to express yourself, not only creatively, but in acts of service to others. Also this morning with us is Sabina, and she's going to be helping with the phones this morning. And I'm so excited because Sabina was on a few weeks ago talking about animal issues and animal rights. And our programming here at KUCI, in case you're interested in perhaps one day becoming a PA host or a public affairs host or a DJ. Our trainings are open to community members twice a year in the spring and summer. So I'm hoping Sabina's going to come, take the training, do some volunteer work, and maybe be bringing us an interesting show come the spring or summer. So you never know what might happen. So I'm going to actually say good morning here to Ro. Good morning, Ro.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And Sabina, I'm going to say hi. Hi, Sabina.
Hello, Tony.
Thank you. Yeah.
I don't think I'm on.
Actually, you are on. I can hear you, but
I can't hear me.
You can't hear you in your headphones. Oh, we probably need to get you
plugged
into a different port. Technology is always wonderful. you might even just check to make sure it's already pushed in there. So.
I'm going to try a different port and see what
happens. So technology is wonderful. Technology is my friend. So anyway, I'm very excited. So Ro, you are here, and well, I'm going to let you tell the story even of because we met through Tolkien Online. We actually met through a message board. So sometimes people are really afraid of like, oh gosh, you know, I don't know if I should meet someone through the internet, but we met through Tolkien Online about five years ago?
5 years ago. Yeah, we actually, we hooked up on the site in about August or September, and then you and I met in October for that 5-hour lunch, and then in November, it was the beginning of November that you and I decided to venture to the Renaissance Fair. So that Renaissance Fair experience, we'd only met, that was our second time.
So we had talked to each other through the message board.
Through the message board.
And part of the reason that I, and I think also you, ended up on a message board was because we just had this passion for all things Middle Earth and the Lord of the Rings. And I know for me, I was having a hard time finding other people that, you know, really were as interested in it as I was. People would say, yeah, that's fine, Tony. So what else is new? And I say, but did you see this part? And do you realize what's going on in all these languages? And they're like, yeah. And so finally, it took me, you know, I didn't even see the movies really until, I mean, Fellowship until March. And then Didn't find the message board until, I think, like August or something. And then we met, I think, in like around September.
Yeah, it was September in the orphanage thread.
Yeah.
Which was, it's a thread that Leoba over in England started for people who were new to the boards and wanted to be sort of mentored.
Right.
She started that. I joined late. I had already figured the boards out, but I'd asked her, can I come in? And so that was my first community in on the online experience, and then we met there.
Yes. Yeah. And Tolkien Online is one of the major message boards. I think it's the major one. There's also the Wondering.net,
Torn.
I think. Yeah, yeah. Torn. But I love Tolkien Online. It's a very family friendly board. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those boards that you can feel safe letting your children, you know, go on. We have people that even post with their kids. So very it's moderated. So there's no bad language or any type of thing. So it's a wonderful family type of message board. And I had never been on a message board before when I found Tolkien Online, and I didn't know what these words meant, threads and forums and posting, and I didn't understand etiquette, and, you know, and so Leoba very graciously adopted me, and I was so thrilled too, because I had always wanted a pen pal over in England, and now I had like someone who adopted me and was teaching me how to be on a message board and how to post and, you know, kind of some, all of the ins and outs. And it was just from the very beginning, just a delightful and fun experience. And then finding a way to interact with other people, to talk about the movies and what they thought about them, and talk about the books and adventures, even extraneous adventures having to do with. So both of us actually were interested in something called role play writing. Could you talk a little bit about that? And
yeah, role play writing on TORC, which is the acronym for the website, is you develop a character in Middle Earth, and then when you go into, you actually participate in stories writing in the persona of this character along with other people.
Mm-hmm. So it's different from role-play games in that in games you're just kind of there, you're trying to win. In role-play stories, which I love, and I'm actually one of these days I am going to have a full show about this whole wonderful genre, I think, of role-play stories that people write in fan fiction. But it's really fun because for me, there were so many things. It sparked my creative imagination again. I had never done anything like that. The whole idea of collaborative writing, you know, where you write a character in a scene and something happens and then you wait and see how other characters respond and act about. So it's kind of like, you know, you can try to move the story in a certain direction, but you kind of don't know what's going to happen. And so just like in real life, you have to respond to what someone says or does to you in role-play writing. Also, something happens around in the context of your character, and your character has to figure out, you know, how to respond within the context of being true to his nature or her nature and that type of thing. So it's very fun. And we both kind of were interested in that, and that's how we ended up at the Renaissance Fair, right?
We were doing research, you know. So, ironically enough, my goal for that day at the Renaissance Fair was I wanted to learn how to make chainmail. I had created a female warrior character, and, you know, chainmail was it. And you wanted the archery lesson. And, boy, you were persistent, and I kept putting it off because I wanted to make the chainmail. I finally found a man who was willing to teach me how to make the chainmail, and I'm like, you go watch the archery. I'm going over here. And that's what I did. He gave me this 20-minute lesson, and I still have the piece of chainmail that he taught me, which is really cool because after that day, I could care less about chainmail. By the end of the day, it didn't matter, but I still have that piece. And so that got me there. But yes, I remember when I finally got my 20-minute chainmail lesson from this Renaissance man. You know, it's the afternoon, and you're like, we got to do archery.
Oh, the archers, they're going to have the archery.
And I'm like, okay, fine. You know, the sooner I go with her and just do this, then we can be off onto other things. So, yes, little did I know.
Yes.
Little did I know.
So the thing there was they have the archers set up, and what you can do is you can get, for $2, you get a handful of arrows, like, you know, seven arrows.
And a five-minute lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so someone, you know, so we got up there, got on the line, we both, you know, because, you know, first you were like, oh, we can just watch it. I thought,
I just wanted to watch.
Yeah, and I was like, no, we have to do it. How can I describe what my character's doing unless I've done it? And so we both shot, like, you tell.
Well, you were the one that shelled out the $2 for me. I mean, I was this reluctant person going, I don't want anything to do with this. And you shell out the $2. And I get the lesson first, which was so cool because you ended up taking a picture of me with my first arrow. Again,
yeah.
Not knowing the significance of the moment. I get up there, I shoot the first arrow, fine, okay, I've done it. I shoot the second arrow, and this incredible, calm, peaceful feeling came over me, and I'm like, whoa, what is this? I've never felt this before. And I kept shooting. You know, I got done with those seven arrows, looked at the man in the funny costume, handed him my bow, said, hold this, went back and bought 14 more arrows, went back, started shooting. He looks at me, he's like, are you aiming? I said, I don't know how to aim. He starts teaching me how to aim. Excuse me. Still gets me. I got done shooting, so at this point I shot 21 arrows. I get done shooting, and there's a crowd around me. Whatever magical emotions that I felt, other people saw, and there was this crowd, and the men actually wanted me to go buy more arrows. They're like, don't stop, and I actually said, something significant has happened here. I don't understand what it is, and I'm going to just let myself be with this. But luckily, one man ended up handing me a card to a local archery shop. He said, if you want to pursue this, go here. So I said, okay, I'll go. You know, or I just took it, to be polite. I really didn't know what had happened, what door had just opened, and what I was going to do with it. I went home that evening, told my husband, I tried archery today and I liked it. And he's like, okay, you know, it's just okay, you know, that's nice. It's like, yeah, I ate an apple today. It was good. Okay.
Right.
Who knew?
Who knew?
Who knew?
Yes. Well, and it's just like, you know, Frodo was saying to Sam, of a quote from Bilbo, be careful stepping out your door because you never know. You go to a Ren Fair, a friend buys you a handful of arrows and your entire life could change.
And mine did.
So from there, you know, of course, I shot some arrows that day, too, and I thought archery was wonderful. I came home and took some lessons, but, you know, it wasn't, you know, specifically my passion. But what happened to you after that?
Well, how much time do we have? Okay. I'm trying to give the condensed version. About a week later, an article came out in our local newspaper about a female archer. And Jim, my husband, said to me, there's this article in the paper you might want to read about this woman archer. And I said, yeah, okay. A few days later, I read it, and she ends up talking about this peaceful feeling she gets when she shoots. I'm like, whoa, what is it about this sport? A week later, it's my 40th birthday is about to happen. So this happened when I was 39.
Yeah.
And Jim says to me, what do you want for your birthday? I said, you know, I think I'd like an archery lesson. So he said, well, okay, look into it. Well, I look at the article about the woman archer. She teaches out of this place called Willow Creek in Escondido. I go and get the card from the man at the Renaissance Fair. Darned if it isn't Willow Creek in Escondido Archery. I mean, in Escondido, California. Yeah. And I said, wow, that's kind of odd. So I actually drove down to Willow Creek one day, gave the number to the man, Jim Connors, who owns the shop, and he said, she'll be calling you. Well, my birthday that year was on a Thursday, and I really wanted the lesson on my birthday. And she didn't call back. And finally, when she did call back, it was like 2 days before my birthday, and she said, I could only teach you on Thursday. Okay, that works for me. So I had my first official archery lesson on my 40th birthday with my first coach, Alana Dunaway. And from there, I started taking lessons with her. And in the beginning, for the first 3 weeks, I only could shoot once a week for my lesson because I didn't have equipment. Well, I fixed that pretty darn quick. by 3 weeks later, I'm buying my first bow and my arrows. And Jim and I lived in Ramona back then. We had four acres. I could go home and shoot outside. Well, December, Alana, she's always kind of sneaky about this. She tells me there's this thing coming up in January where I can get rated in the state. Just a rating system. And I'm like, oh, you know, yeah, that'd be kind of cool, find out where I fit in the realm of archery. And about 2 weeks before this event, I find out it's a competition. Okay, oh, well, all right, that's a little more nerve-wracking. Week before, I ask her for the actual application or the form and find out it's a state championship. I'm like, I've been shooting for 2 months, and you think I can go into a state championship?
Wow.
Needless to say, I was quite intimidated, but I went for it. And
Well, what, you know, I mean, what do you, you got to
you
lose?
Do. You do. Well, I wanted to back up a little bit and explain the style that I shoot in archery is called traditional. I shoot with a recurve bow. There's recurve bows and compound bows, and compound bows are the bows that are primarily used for hunting, although they are also used for target competition, but they're the ones with the cams and the wheels.
Right.
And then I shoot recurve. Well, at this point, I'm shooting traditional.
Which is kind of like a curvy long
bow. It's a curvy long, yeah, with lack of a better way to explain right. it. And it doesn't have a sight. I shoot non-sighted. So I have to, I use the arrow tip to aim, and different distances I have to point it at different places.
So you have to do it all yourself.
I have to do it all myself. I have no technology. I have no sight. So I go in 2 months into the sport. I go into my first competition, and I win the state championship. I was stunned. This was a mail-in. That's the other thing I wanted to explain. In archery, you have competitions where you actually go to events. But in California and some of the sectionals with NFAA, you have mail-ins where you compete at your local range. Everybody competes at their own range. Then they send in the results, and we find out our placing a month or two later.
So you're actually competing against a lot of other studios.
It allows more people to participate right. in the competition without actually having to get there.
Right.
So there's two different ways you can compete. Again, that was all new to me. So, yeah, so I win. It takes me a month to find out I win the state championship. But I go up to the website, and it's like, there I am. And I'm like, I'm a state champion in 2 months into this sport. Whoa. That was fun. So, again, I'll try to make this, give you an overview of this. You and I, second competition, you and I go up to UCLA together.
Yeah.
Okay, that was quite an experience walking into Poly Pavilion.
It was actually the same day that we went to the Oscar party.
Night. Oh, man, I was so exhausted that night. Yeah, I had no idea.
That was the Oscar party for Two Towers?
Two Towers. That night. So, yeah, so yeah. I'm thinking I'll just run in there, shoot some arrows, and then we'll leap off to a party. I had no idea what I was getting into. No, it was huge, and that... Yeah, again, intimidating, but again, the passion. It was just like I would shoot anywhere, anytime.
Yeah.
So that was my second competition, and you were there to support me for that. Throughout the rest of that first year, I continued to compete. I ended up winning, not only winning another state championship in August, but I ended up breaking a state record in the 900. So, I mean,
same within the first year.
In the first year. And I didn't even consider breaking state records at that point. It was another thing I stumbled upon the internet one night. I was looking for my results because this was another mail-in. They hadn't been posted, and I'm like, oh, let's just go look at what the state records are. And then I realized my score was higher than the state record, and I'm like, Jim, come in here. So I break a state record. So then, again, that first year was just getting more experience and usually winning. Many times I won because I was the only one in my category, but sometimes I had some competition.
Right.
So now we roll.
Most people like to add some high-tech stuff, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, they like them, or they like to shoot with sights.
Right.
And I don't. So entering into the beginning of the, okay, so that's the first year. Now you begin to get into the beginning of the second year, January. So that what I just shared with you was basically 2003.
Right.
Get into 2004. I now decide I want to try and break the indoor record, which was the very first competition I had won the year before. I get in there that night, and I shoot, and I break the state indoor record. Now, to be fair, I will say both of these records have now been broken by a woman up in Northern California.
Well, you still set a record.
But I did break two records at that time. So this was so now we're going into the second year. My coach and I decide I'll go to nationals. You know, here I'm breaking records. I'm doing real well. Well, that while I may have been ready, you know, talent and skill-wise, maybe I might have been ready to shoot at national level. Emotionally and mentally, I didn't have a lot of experience other than just going out there and winning. But I didn't know how to manage the stress.
Yeah.
And I did want to share this, especially since we have people from Tolkien online. I remember one day before I was getting ready to go to nationals, and I was very scared. And I actually posted a post in Leoba's thread going, well, I don't know what I'm doing, guys. And I don't and I will say within 20 minutes, there were posts and people IMing me with support going, you can do it. You can go.
Yeah.
So I did. I went, and I took fifth. It was a nerve-wracking experience for me.
But still, there was a lot of people there.
There were a lot of people, and yeah, but I did it, and I went. From there, the pressure that I put on myself it really started to affect my shooting, and the magic was gone. As MJ, who is my current coach, would say, the ignorant bliss phase was over. It's like now I'm dealing with the realities of of the stress and the fear and the issues that were coming up.
Right.
I did, however, continue on to compete. I went on to, at that point, I went on to another nationals up in Redding, California, and shot a 3D event and ended up winning that. And ironically enough, it was 1.5 years to the day of my first archery lesson.
Oh.
So that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, year and a half into this sport, I've three state championships and one national championship. So, you know, yeah, I'm doing things. But Redding also helped me understand that I had gone as far as I could go with my first coach. And I had met MJ Rogers, who's my current coach. I had met him in Vegas back in February of this year, of 2003. Is that right? Wait a minute. No, 2004.
Yeah.
I had met him then. And I got back from Redding and gave him a call and said, you know, told him who I was. We'd met once, asked him if he'd be my coach. And it was amazing to me because we talked on the phone. I told him what was going on, and he suggested that after. He said, next practice, go out and do this with a target and your bow. And I did, and darn if it didn't start to help me come around and bring that magic back. So
the last couple of years, you've had a little bit of a transition, you know, from from that. So let's talk a little bit about kind of what happened, you know, when you started working with MJ, and did you continue to compete, and then kind of where it's led you to
today,
to now.
Well, with MJ, we spent that next year, or the next 6 months, I was shooting traditional. I had some competitions lined up. So when I started working with him, we said at the very beginning, don't change anything. I mean, let's enhance what I've got going, but we're not going to make any major changes to my form because of these competitions. And I will say that the next two competitions that I went into, working with him and just the help he gave me helped me come back mentally to the place I had been before. And had I ended up winning another state championship. And then the King Arthur, which is down in San Diego. It's a local thing, but it's a fun thing. And in that
one, the one that's outside with
outside with all the targets,
animal things.
They're all King Arthur themed.
Oh.
And that was the one where I shot traditional, and I shot the highest score out of both men and women. And that really stunned me. That I was like, whoa, that was a pretty. I was hot that day. I was on. But then at that point, I had realized, I felt I had never had a chance to build a foundation because I had started competing so early.
Right.
So I basically said with him, you know, I would like to take the next 6 months off. So we kept training traditional. Well, then towards the end of 2004, I switched over to another style called bare bow. And that's also shot with a recurve non-sighted, but it's different. I actually make sight adjustments where I have my hand on the string as opposed to the tip of the arrow.
Oh.
So I make that adjustment with him. We start working, and I knew I need to go back to Kentucky to face the fears that had happened the year before.
Right.
And so we prepared me for that, to go to Kentucky, and they also piggybacked that on top of a world competition. So I go into Kentucky of March of 2005 and shooting this new style. And I end up taking third in nationals and first in the world.
Yay.
So now I'm looking at, 2.5 years into the sport, and now I've attained this.
Wow. That's amazing. That's just incredible.
It's just looking back on it. It's just,
Have you ever shot any?
I haven't.
I have two bows. We'll have to get out and shoot some arrows.
I was going to say, when I've been to the Renaissance Fair, I have seen them, you know, doing that, but I've just
there's
never
one coming up in the spring. We'll have to bring you with us down to Escondido next time.
I'm sure I won't do quite as well, but
you never know.
You never know what might happen. You might discover your secret passion as well, or maybe you'll discover it's making chainmail.
Exactly.
So I from there, I went into doing some field competitions, bare bow, and that summer, and then I ended up I didn't end up competing very heavily that year, but I did end up doing some more competitions. Some more issues, mental issues, come up. That's the beauty of this sport. You know, they're going to come up, or if you compete anyway.
Right.
The stuff in your head is going to come up. And now, it's for me, a lot of that in the beginning was learning how to cope with it. And now, through MJ's help, I'm learning it's about how to manage it.
Uh-huh.
You know, the butterflies in the stomach, he's finally gotten through to me. They're going to be there. They're never going to go away. How do I manage them?
Right.
So this is what
as
I'm learning.
As in life, you know?
As like, in life.
Know, things come up, you know, you get stressed out, you know, it's like, and it's how do we respond to what the universe offers us?
Yes. Well,
and it always offers us interesting challenges, you know, and I find myself very often, you know, in situations where I'll have a test and then I will hear Galadriel's voice in my head and I'll say, oh, I passed the test. I will remain Falathiel and Silmton. Or it's like, ah, I failed the test. Give me the ring.
You never fail.
I know.
You never fail. It's just, can you learn from it? Yeah, listen to me. Like, I'm this expert, you know, on failing.
No.
Right.
But
okay,
it's not really failing. But you know what I mean. You know, sometimes I think we have opportunities to do a higher good. And sometimes
yes.
we don't always choose, you know, or it just, you know, it just escapes us, you know.
Yeah.
But it's all a learning process. It's all a growing process.
Yeah.
So we're getting up close to our toast time, but I want to be sure to have time to talk about kind of where this has led to now in your personal training and this new thing that has just recently opened up quite by surprise.
Right. I just was going to share that that was pretty much the end of the competition until 2006. I actually took off from competing to work on my form. I spent a whole year on that. The only other thing I would like to share about that was the year I changed my name. So all these things that I've just shared with you, all these accomplishments I've done in archery was with my name, Sheila.
Uh-huh.
So those are all under the name Sheila Densmore in the records. But I ended up changing my name to Roe in the summer of 2006. So now I've gone back. When I compete now from here on out, I'm under Roe Densmore. That
Yay.
Is my new legal name. So took 2006 off and then started back competing this year, and some more stuff came up that I need to work on. And so I've been working on that. And in the summer, I actually joined a league down where I live, a weekly league.
Uh-huh.
So I'm doing that now. Okay, what has this has led to?
But just recently, your coach has asked you to help him with something.
Right, so. Yeah. I shared a little of that on your last show. I began helping MJ at a spa in Escondido. He's there once a week, and he teaches people who are at the spa how to shoot. It's called Zen Archery.
Yeah.
And he asked me to help just in the beginning for a few times, but I enjoyed it so much. I asked him if I could continue to help him do that, which I have done. And then that led into about 3 weeks ago, he was run. There's another organization, NASP, National Archery Programs, School Programs. And they are working towards bringing archery into the schools. They're a national program. They've been very, very successful in the East. Now they're working on bringing it to California. I went with MJ to assist him in training teachers to teach students.
That's so exciting.
It's very exciting.
Bringing archery
into the
school. And
it's
elementary, junior, elementary, high, and high school, right?
Elementary, junior, and high school. Yeah, there's three age groups. I don't know the age groups. I'm just learning about the program.
Yeah.
I don't know much about it. However, doing that with him, he then later asked me if I would like to be trained to be an instructor to train teachers. And I had said, yes, I would like to do that. Okay, so then I end up finding out that there's going to be a training up in Northern California in February. And I had told him when he said that, you know, yeah, let me think about it if that will work. Okay, here's the big announcement.
Well, first tell a little people about this other thing that you have done with your husband having to do with this.
Oh, the AOAT. That would be good to bring those together. Yes. Since October of 2001, I met a man and his name is Sam. His wife is Nancy. They founded an organization over in Uganda, Africa, AOET. And you can find his website on the internet, AOET.com. Excuse me. .org.
Okay. AOET.org.
This is a man who not only has vision, but he has determination and dedication to bring his visions to fruition. He started an organization for the AIDS orphans over in Uganda. It ended up expanding into the widows as well, because in Uganda there are a lot of women whose husband have died of AIDS and they themselves are HIV infected, but they're still alive and they have children. So I don't know exactly when Sam's organization started, but when I met him, it was in the early stages. And he has, this organization has grown. I just found out he's now in 5 African countries. He's built a elementary or primary school over there. He's about to have a high school finished in the fall. So, and then my husband and I have been supporting 4 children since 2005 through school, and one of those children just entered college.
Yay.
So it's a pretty neat program. For $30 a month, we can support a child through primary school. For $150 a month, we can put a child through our young adult through college.
Wow.
So we've been supporting him financially, either giving him money for computers or sewing machines to supporting the children. So just before Christmas, I got an email from Sam thanking us for all our support and stuff. And this must have helped me get the idea of just thinking about Sam again and combining it with this National Archery in the Schools program that I'm about to get involved with. And I come home from a little vacation Jim and I took in Idlewild and decided to send Sam off an email like, you know, hey, Sam, would you even be interested if a group of people came over to teach the students archery in your school? And the email I got back was an enthusiastic yes. And he was like all ready to have me come over tomorrow. And I was like, well, this is great, Sam, but, you know, this was just an idea. No one even knows I've had it.
Yeah.
I need to get some info. So I ended up calling MJ that day. MJ's had about 40 years experience in archery, and he works for the NFAA, the National Field Archery Association. He's also he worked at the Olympic Training Center for 5 years prior to this current job, so I thought he could help me, and he did, and he basically helped me to understand there's grants available. What we would do is I need to put a team together. I need to get money for the equipment, which would stay in Uganda after we leave. And then
that's
so
cool.
That is so cool. And then I need to, if I want to get grants, I need to, I need to get funding to get over there. If I go
for that, it's like this possibility, actually, you know, of that you would have never imagined.
No.
Of taking archery into schools over in Uganda.
Yes. And what I didn't understand until I talked to MJ is the grants are there to start programs that can continue on after the team leaves. I send this other email to Sam going, okay, Sam, wait, this might be bigger than I originally thought.
You never know.
No, here's the info I got. And he sent back another email, and this is when I found out how big his organization has become. He's not only got his primary school, his high school that's starting, that when we send a team over, it'll be about 450 students, but he is more than willing to have, and with people to become certified archery instructors, to not only continue the program in his school after the team leaves, but to then take this program to other schools.
Yeah.
He's got the infrastructure and the resources to
this
bring this
so
to other
exciting.
Schools. As well as an AOAT, like satellite place in Kenya. So this is the big announcement that I'm now, this is only a week old. I got the email.
And it's probably going to take a couple of years. You know,
well, I'm looking at possibly a year. I don't know. I'm going to be getting some more information from MJ on the grants. And right now I'm working on a preliminary budget. And I already know that it needs to be a team of about 4 to 6, but I don't know how much equipment we need, things like that. This is a very, very early. The other thing I wanted to share, I'm going to be working towards getting a website up that I can basically explain this better. But right now, if anybody wants more information or wants to be put on a mailing list as to what is currently going on or what I'm working on, I just created an email account yesterday at archeryuganda@cox.net, and Cox is COX.
Okay, so one more time.
Archeryuganda, all one word, at cox.net.
So they can email you and just get on a list and just, you know, we can maybe even do some updates here about what's going on, because it's very, very exciting. Who would imagine a handful of arrows could lead possibly to archery being taught in the schools of Uganda? So you never know where your adventures will take you. You have to be careful hanging around with elves.
No, you have to be willing to go on adventures hanging around with elves. You will not stay stagnant.
We invite those adventures to show up. But this is so exciting. And thank you so much for sharing that news with us this morning.
You're welcome.
We actually are going to have to do a little transition here because it's just about time to have our toast for the professor. But again, if people are interested, again, my guest this morning has been Roe Densmore. My fellow Tolkien pal and dear, dear friend, talking about her adventures in archery, one of those things, those Middle Earth adventures of being stepping outside your door and finding out where the path might take you, and her path taking her not only to archery and state and world championships, but now possibly to teaching archery over in Uganda. That is so exciting. We will be excited to track your progress and track, because we all get to be part of the adventure along with you.
I will keep you all posted. And again, I get the website up and that will help.
That'll be wonderful. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we're going to transition a little bit here. Again, the email for that is
archeryuganda@cox.net.
Yes. So we're going to do, I'm just going to play a little bit here. We're going to have our toast. So let's get our Miravor, which we have sparkling water this morning with a little tangerine. So I'm going to let Sabina, would you do the honors here of pouring? Let's see. Let me hand you the little goodie.
The sparkling.
Yes. And let's see.
Blue Italy.
And one of our friends on Tolkien On, again, I just did a refresh for the page. I want to say a special hello to our friends this morning on Tolkien Online, many of whom will be sharing a toast with us. And let's see who's joining us still this morning. Oh, there is Pedro Doris. Come. Aaron Hugh. Oh, Jaya Dan. Oh, my gosh. I get so excited at seeing which of our friends. We know Scribbles is still up in Washington. Vanna is listening from up in Washington. Oh, here's my goblet. And we are really geeky here. We are drinking our toasts with Lord of the Rings goblets that came out with the Fellowship of the Ring from compliments of Burger King. But each of us, I have Arwen.
I have Aragorn.
Yes, it has to be from Gondor. And Sabina gets to be the Hobbit this morning.
Yes, I'm a Hobbit.
And we even have little lights. So we have to turn on the little lights underneath the thing so our goblets light up. And
we're going to have Sabina take a picture of this when we're done.
So turn on our little lights. It makes a little light into our little toasts here. And let's see, who else? Rodia is listening from Poland. Tukish Traveler from Pennsylvania still. Arwen up in Washington. Let's see. And I think Scribbles, again, I think I mentioned up in Canada. Oh, my gosh. See, people, we're just all tied together from all over the globe. I just love... Tolkien Online. I just love being part of communities. And you may want to find a new community, something that you're passionate about. One of our friends, Parm, who's over in Japan, last night posted to this thread that we go in and talk to, you know, let people know what's going on the show for the next day. Wrote a poem. He's one of the poets of the boards. Amazing man who just comes up with these wonderful poems. And he wrote one last night, and I'm going to share that with us this morning. So this from Parm, the bard of Imladris, servant of Iru. Some student left a paper blank, a tempting place on which to write. Then what was penned gave birth to more, a legacy Arendelle bright. Hobbits hoed, Rohirrim rode, Ents in leafy garments strode, to break machines Istari formed, a wise white wizard boldly stormed. Great kingdoms rose, with glory shone, committed acts of towering pride, invoking wrath of Arda's god, gigantic waves swept realms aside. Hooray for talents wisely used, who gave us hobbits, orcs, and elves, to write a story vast and deep, that we might know more of ourselves. Songs and legends, craft and lore, all this from one blank paper left. Yet if that student filled it up, what wonders we would be bereft. Now to that heritage we cheer on this, the opening of a year. And I think with that, we should all raise our glasses. Oh, was it you? I forgot. Was No one's called.
Well, we were going to go to a break.
Oh, that's right. You know what? We'll wait. We're going to wait on our toast. I'm going to give out the call-in number, 949-824-5824, 949-824-5824, and I'm going to play just a little thing. Actually, this from, especially this is for you, Ro, this morning. This is the professor reading from The Two Towers, and this is the, oh, if you're calling, that'll be Sabina picking up the phone there just a moment. This is The Departure of Boromir, The Lament for Boromir. So, in because I know Boromir is your favorite character. So, this is KUCI in Irvine, the best radio station in the history of Middle Earth. And this is Professor J.R.R. Tolkien.
For a while, the three companions remained silent, gazing after Boromir. Then Aragorn spoke. They will look for him from the White Tower, he said, but he will not return from mountain or from sea. Then slowly he began to sing. Through Rohan over fen and field where the long grass grows, the west wind comes walking and about the walls it goes. What news from the west, O wandering wind, you bring to me tonight? Have you seen Boromir the Tall by moon or by starlight? I saw him ride over seven streams, over waters wide and grey. I saw him walk in empty lands until he passed away into the shadows of the north. I saw him then no more. The north wind may have heard the horn of the son of Boromir. O Boromir, from the high walls westward I looked afar, but you came not from the empty lands where no men are. Then Legolas sang. From the mouths of the sea the south wind flies, from the sandhills and the stones. The wailing of the gulls it bears, and of the gate it moans. What news of the south, O sighing wind, you bring to me at eve? Where now is Boromir the fair? He tarries, and I grieve. Ask not of me where he doth dwell. So many bones that lie on the white shores, and the dark shores under the stormy sky. So many have passed down Anduin to find the flowing sea. Ask of the north wind news of them the north wind sends to me. O Boromir, beyond the gate the seaward road runs south, but you came not with the wailing gulls from the grey sea's mouth. Then Aragorn sang again. From the gate of kings the north wind rise, and past the roaring falls, and clear and cold about the tower its loud horn calls. What news from the north, O mighty wind, you bring to me today? What news of Boromir the Bold, for he is long away? Beneath Annon Hen I heard his cry, there many foes he fought. His cloven shield, his broken sword, they to the water brought. His head so proud, his face so fair, his limbs they laid to rest. And Rauros, golden Rauros, falls, Boromir upon his breast. O Boromir, the Tower of Guard, shall ever northward gaze to Rauros, golden Rauros falls at the end of days.
And that J.R.R. Tolkien reading The Lament of Boromir from The Two Towers. That for you this morning, Ro.
Thanks.
You're welcome. And we have Pelador on the phone with us calling in from Texas. Good morning, Pelador, my Govanin.
Good morning.
Thank
or
you.
Good afternoon.
Oh, that's right. I guess where you are, is it just about 12 or wait a minute?
Oh, it's it's about 12 o'clock.
Okay, good afternoon. So here we are. We're going to raise our glasses with a toast here, all to the professor Sabina, Ro, Fala, Perador, and to all of our friends on Tolkien Online and all elf friends everywhere, to the all together to the professor. You guys just have to say to the professor. Okay, well, so.
We love you, Professor.
Yes, and I love you too. How are things there in Texas?
Oh, good. It's been very, very cold down here, which has been wonderful because I love cold weather.
Ah.
Yes.
It's quite chilly here, but, you know, we consider 68 degrees being pretty chilly.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much. Do you have anything special, anybody that you'd like to say hi to there in Texas? We're all just so excited, aren't we not, about, you know, The Hobbit coming out, and it just creates a lot more excitement for the works of Middle Earth and all things wonderful in that arena, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm very excited about The Hobbit and stuff. And I just want to say hi to, just salute to my family and how much I love them. And I'm just looking forward to this for 2008. I think it's going to be a good year for all of us.
It's going to be a year of adventures. We have idea. I think we thought 2001 and 2002 when The Fellowship came out. I just know that 2008 is just going to be chock full of adventures. And just while I have you here real quick, we're going to have you back on in just a month or two, because you are part of a journal, which is, you collect, you know, writings about Middle Earth and stuff. Could you just say a little bit just about that, what the name of the journal is? And we'll be having a show, you know, a little bit later about that, but just if people are interested, what the name of that journal is, can people order it?
Oh, yes, they can order it. I don't have the it's called the whitetreefund.org.
Okay.
And what it is we reach out and try to help people. We try to make people aware of the things that are going on throughout the world.
Uh-huh.
And just try to connect with them. Plus, we're also Tolkien-based. We're Tolkien fans.
Uh-huh.
That I've put this journal together, and we've had many contributors, and it's a beautiful journal, and we're very excited about it.
Cool.
Very excited.
So we Tolkien nuts generally like to write, some place for our writing stuff. So if we can't find any place, we go to the message board. Well, Petrodor, thank you so much for being with us this morning, and we will say namaraya for now and talk to you a little bit later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, Petrodor.
Bye-bye, Ro.
Okay, well, we have just a couple of minutes, and so we'll leave with intro. Ro, did you want to say anything last minute before? Anything you want to say, encouraging people to, you know, follow their passions, or hello to anybody especially?
You know, I know in my SIG picture, for those of you who are on the board, I have a poem by Joseph Campbell, and he talks about following our path and having courage. And I want to share to people, you know, what I shared this morning with my journey is pretty amazing. It's not always been easy. It's been fascinating. It's easy, and I can look back, but it does. Courage is a part of the journey, and I'm still learning this. And so, yeah, you know, if you have a dream and surround yourself with people who will support you and encourage you and that dream, and who can give you a reality check on that dream, that's also important. It may not always be easy, but just keep taking those steps and have courage.
Yes, and that's what it's all about, courage. I love that line where Eowyn says to Mary, courage for our friends.
Yes.
And that's one of my favorite lines in the whole movie, as they're riding into battle together. Yeah. So, Sabina, thank you so much for being here this morning.
It's been another treat.
We all have these wonderful adventures together. The family just keeps growing. So, Ro, thank you again so much for sharing your adventure with us.
You're welcome.
And we'll be moving on to other adventures today. So I just want to say to everyone, you have been listening to What Would Arwen Do on every Thursday morning, 9 to 10 a.m., An Elvish Perspective on Life. And coming up in just a few moments, Janine with Moms Rock the House. Please come back next week. We'll be having more Elvish adventures. In the meantime, I'm going to leave you with a little bit of Into the West, as sung by Coco B, who is on every other Wednesday morning on Yogi World. One of my fellow yoginis, I am the yoga elf. And also, if you have any questions or things you'd like to hear about on the show, or questions for me about elves or yoga or elves and yoga or anything, you can email me at theyogaelf@yahoo.com or askanelf@yahoo.com. This is KUCI in Irvine, the best radio station in the history of Middle Earth. It's in where we have